Okay, so we left off last week. We were talking about the Gemara's discussing the possibility, or in fact, at the end of the day, the impossibility of being pulled to Hekdesh. And it's a shame to be using a shtar. The pasuk says, "V'nosan and kesef come low." So this teaches us that kesef is an acceptable form of pidyon Hekdesh and Ma'aseh Sheni, where a shtar is not acceptable. Why in the world are we talking about pidyon Hekdesh, Ma'aseh Sheni, kesef, and shtar? So the Gemara is using this as part of the hierarchy. What's a better kinyan? Is kesef a greater kinyan or a shtar a greater kinyan? That, of course, becomes a point in terms of kedushin, deriving one from another. So the Gemara needs a pasuk to teach me that shtar is not an acceptable method of pidyon. The question that the Rishonim had was, what is the case exactly? Give me the scenario, illustrate for me, what would it have meant? If not for the gzeiras hakasuv, what would a pidyon hekdesh or pidyon maschera de shtar look like? So there was a machlokes Rashi in the Rashba. Rashi said that it meant that the person is going to use an IOU. He's going to write he doesn't have cash right now. He's going to write an IOU to Hekdesh. He's going to write an IOU to Ma'aseh Sheni, saying that in a week from now when I get the cash, I'm going to be pulled out. So the question is, can the pidyon work right now? So that's the chiddush of Enosan HaKesef HaKamlo, but that wouldn't be acceptable. So the Rashba, for a whole complicated reason, was not satisfied with that pshat. And we spoke a lot last week about what that reason was. Is that called kesef, not called kesef, etc. So Rashba said, no, the case is totally different. What it means is that the mocher is going to write a shtar, the same way that if I want to sell you a field, so I write a shtar that this field is sold to you. So too, a person wants to be polda, Ma'aseh Sheni wants to be polda Hekdesh, he's going to write a shtar that's saying, this shtar should affect the pidyon. Not that he's promising, he's not writing a promissory, you know, an IOU that he's going to pay money in a few weeks from now. He's using shtar objectively, in and of itself, to be the method of pidyon. So that was the Rashi pshat in the Gemara. So we had some problems with that pshat at the end of the shul this week. Is that who exactly is going to author that shtar? Who's going to authorize that shtar? A shtar is always written by the mocher. So here the hekdesh belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. Here the Ma'aseh Sheni belongs to this new entity called Ma'aseh Sheni. So the only havamin of havaminas that such a pidyon is going to work is that you have to get the owner to authorize the writing of the shtar. So by Hekdesh, we could kvetch the owner as the Hekdesh, as the Gizmer, as the treasurer of the Beis Hamikdash. But who exactly owns Ma'aseh Sheni? It's the owner of Ma'aseh Sheni. But the person who's eating the fruit, he's not the owner of Ma'aseh Sheni. So who's going to authorize the writing of the shtar to redeem the Ma'aseh Sheni? So we left it hanging a little bit. That was the Ketzos's kasha. And then there's another problem that the Ketzos has with the Rashba's understanding of this supposed phantom shtar. We shouldn't take the shtar too seriously because at the end of the day it doesn't work. At the end of the day, the Gemara says, "When also the kesef kamlo comes to exclude the shtar," but we have to understand, we have to appreciate what the shtar would have looked like if the Bansham gave us a pasuk in Chumash kesef lo shtar. There's a drasha Tashma Peh teaches us kesef lo shtar. That means the shtar would have been effective. So we have to understand what would it have looked like. So comes the Ketzos and says he has another technicality, another problem with the shtar, is that the Mishnah tells us later on in Kiddushin that a shtar only works at karka, it doesn't work at betaltalin. If I want to sell you my house, if I want to sell you my backyard, we can draw up a document. If I want to sell you a bag of potatoes, so there's no such thing. I can't use a shtar to sell betaltalin. Why exactly that's so, that's a question, but my sense of it, there's no question that's the din. The question is only why they should be so. So comes the Ketzos and says, let's go through the basics in terms of what the shtar on pidyon hekdesh or Ma'aseh Sheni would have looked like. So when we're dealing with pidyon hekdesh, it's possible that the hekdesh in question is karka. The psukim say in Parshas Berakos, that person can be machdesh his house, can be machdesh his field, can be machdesh his animal, can be machdesh a lot of things. So if and when we would be dealing with the hekdesh of karka, then we could dream that maybe, just as the shtar is effective to transfer ownership between Reuben and Shimon, using a shtar for in karka, so too, that should work for hekdesh of karka as well. But that mushal breaks down when you're dealing with metaltalin. If and when we would be dealing with a davar kadosh of metaltalin, then it would be inconceivable that a shtar would be used. Good, okay, so big deal. So at least we found some cases, at least the case of hekdesh of karka, that a shtar could have potentially been on the radar screen. Says Rabbi Chanan, the second kash, says Rabbi Chanan, the problem is that this notion of using a shtar to be poda hekdesh, so that I can understand. Male hekdesh I can understand because it's possible to have a case of karka. Ma'aseh Sheni, Give me Maisa Sheni that's Karka. So the answer is Maisa Sheni Mechubal Karka, because it's still connected to the ground. So it still has the status of a Davar Shel Karka. The problem is, it can't be Maisa Sheni, because you can't be Mafresh Maisa Sheni until it's detached from the ground. So we're Mafresh in a Catch 22, that the only way to find the type of a Davar Kadosh and Maisa Sheni that lends itself to a Shtar, again, this is all Havim, it lends itself to the possibility of a Shtar or the Rashba, is that it has to be Karka or Mechubla Karka, but it can't be Mechubla Karka because it's halachically impossible to separate Maisa Sheni until it's Talosh Bina Karka, until it's detached from the Karka. So in effect, there's no case. So when all said and done, there is no case of Maisa Sheni using a Shtar. It doesn't make any sense. There is no Havamin Shema Havamina of using the Rashba's kind of a Shtar. So two titles we have against this Shtar. Either is a problem who's authorizing the Shtar. If I'm not mistaken, I think I got the names backwards. I think it was double check on this one. I think it's Rabbi Chanan who had the second kasha, the Chelsea, the first kasha. So two good kashas from two great gedolim. You have to double check who has the kashas. But the bottom line is that between the Chelsea's kasha and the Rabbi Chanan's kashas, we're really in a pickle. That the Rashba's pshat doesn't seem to fit. We can't find the case. We can't find a scenario that shtar could have been used at least for Maisa Sheni. But a whole part of getting back to our to the regular part of our sugya, the reason why we got into this whole discussion is we're trying to determine whether shtar is a good kinyan for kedushin. We didn't yet have a pasuk to teach us that shtar is a good kinyan, so the Gemara was trying to derive kavachemis. If kesef works, so for sure shtar works. And the Gemara said, no, that's not a good kavachemis. Why? Because once I can prove to you that kesef can do certain things that shtar can't do, that undermines the kavachemis. So what was the example, was the illustration of something that kesef can do and shtar can't do? Pidyon Hekdesh Maisa Sheni, that was the proof. The fact that there exists a din, Vinasana Kesef Akamlo, Kesef excluding Shtar, Shtar cannot be used for Pidyon, whether it's Rashi Shtar, the Rashi Shtar, Tachlis, Shtar can't be used for Pidyon. So that proves to us that ultimately we don't have any real Raya that Kesef is greater than Shtar, that Shtar is greater than Kesef. And we're back to square one. We need a Pasuk to teach us that Shtar is effective for Kedushin. So we want to pick up on this notion now, this Nakuda that the Gemara is telling us, that we're talking about Kinyan Kesef. We're talking about Kinyan Shtar. We're trying to figure out how a woman is going to be Nikdes, Isha Nikdes, Tabayla, and we're asking Kashas from Pidyon Maisa Sheni, Pidyon Hekdesh. Should that kasha bother us? Should just the very shock of attire of the Gemara, the fact that the Gemara is using proofs from Hilchos Pidyon Hekdesh and extrapolating to Kedushin and saying, no, Hilchos Pidyon Hekdesh is telling us something about what methods of Kedushin are going to be good or not. Is there something funny, something fishy about that comparison in the Gemara? So we take a look at the 10th of the Mamakamos. So Rabbi Chaim in Hilchos Maisa Sheni, the 10th of the Mamakam is in the back. Rabbi Chaim raises the fundamental question, what exactly is the nature of this din called Pidyon Hekdesh or Maisa Sheni? The Torah tells us that I have a Davar Kadosh and I take a couple of dollars and I transfer the Kedusha onto the cash. I have a couple of fruits, some fruit of Maisa Sheni, I transfer the Kedusha onto the cash. Yesh Lachkor, one can raise the question, what is the nature of what I'm doing? Am I doing something which is purely a din of Issa Heter? Namely, there's a Davar Kadosh. So I'm not allowed to use Hekdesh for my personal use. I'm not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. I'm not allowed to eat in the state of Tuma. So there are halachas, there are a din of Issa Heter that are chal on this particular object. The method that's used to be matir, the Zisurim, is Pidyon. So if I take cash and I transfer the Kedusha, so that's a din of Issa Heter, that's a matir of the Issa Hekdesh, that's a matir of the Kedusha's Maisa Sheni. Is that all that's happening? Or is there something deeper that's happening here? Maybe Pidyon Hekdesh is not a matir in terms of your day, not just a matir, but rather it's a haknah, it's cheshe mishpat. Why is it that I can't use Hekdesh for my own purposes? Why is it that I can't eat Maisa Sheni outside of Yerushalayim? Because this object belongs, in the Mamunus, to Hekdesh. This object belongs to the entity called Maisa Sheni. Anytime something is Mamun Maisa Sheni, anytime something is Mamun Hekdesh, there are certain Isurim, there are certain prohibitions that emanate from its status of being Mamun Hekdesh, its status of being Mamun Maisa Sheni. How are you matir the Isurim? You're not matir the Isurim through a Maisa Heter. You're matir the Isurim by changing the Mamunah status. You're matir the Isurim by saying, well, this object no longer belongs to Hekdesh. This object no longer belongs to Maisa Shedi. So the key to permitting the Isur Hekdesh, the Isur Maisa Shedi, is to attack the bailus of this entity. How do you do that? How do you attack the bas? How do you change? How do you transfer ownership? So the Torah says, "V'nasan a kesef a kamlo." The Torah says, "You make a kinyan kesef." So when I give cash to Maisa Sheini, when I give cash to Hekdesh, it's not pshat that I'm doing a Maisa Matir. It's not what we call in Halach a Maisa Pidyon Bialma. It's really a Maisa Kinyan. And once I do the Maisa Kinyan, Mela, all the Yisurim fall by the wayside. So again, it doesn't sound like it should be Nafkamin Ladina. I mean, it's going to be big Nafkamin, but we have to try to understand conceptually what is taking place with these institutions of pigeon. So the Torah, both in Parshas Pukhakosai and in Parshas Re'eh, speaks about the notion of pigeon, Hekdesh and pigeon Maisa Sheini. And it's not clear whether the din of pigeon, Hekdesh, pigeon Maisa Sheini are fundamentally Isurim, there's no Chashem Mishpat going on, or it's fundamentally Chashem Mishpat, and because of the change in status of Chashem Mishpat that's accomplished by the Pidyon, therefore the Isurim change. So Reb Chaim, in the 10th of the Rambam Kamos, comments on this Chakira, there are Behekdeshos, Hamuvad Etzorach L'schal Ala Kesef, besides the fact that you have to be Mechal, you have to redeem Hekdesh with cash, Hare Ikar Chilulo Din Kinyan Kesef Bey. So says Reb Chaim, the etzem did of chil and pigeon, we're using interchangeably, the etzem did of pigeon and chil hakdish is fundamentally a din kinyan kesef. The kesef kina es a hakdish l'schalalav, the kinyan kesef that you're doing, the cash that you're setting aside, the money in effect that you're giving to the Beis HaMikdash, that's no different conceptually than giving money to somebody to buy his field. And even the Lashon of Chazal and the Mishnah later on in Daf Kav Ches in Kedushin seems to bear this out, because the Mishnah uses the phrase Rishus HaGavoa BeKesef. The Mishnah says that the way that you get property out of Hekdesh is BeKesef. The Hainu Kinyan Kesef, the Lashon of Rishus, is the Lashon of Bailus. And now you get to the point, the punchline of our Sugya. V'chein BeKedushin Daf Hei Mala Kesef Shekin Ponu BeHekdesh Ma'aseh Sheni Darigam Kin the Inyan Kinyan Kesef. So comes the Hamzir Chaim and says, I'll bring you a ride from our sugya that I'm correct, that the nature of chil and pidyon hekdesh is fundamentally a din of kinyan kesef. How do I know that? Our Gemara is discussing kinyonim. We're trying to figure out, is kesef a greater kinyan, ishtar a greater kinyan? Nafkamina for kedushin. So we know that kesef works, kich mistei efron. And the Gemara is trying to say, well, if kesef works, so for sure, shtar works. And the Gemara says, no, not a good proof, because I have other cases where kesef does work and shtar doesn't work, namely pidyon hekdesh maaseh sheini. So comes the Rucham and says, stop. What kind of a kasha is that? We're discussing parshas hakinyonim. We're discussing which is the more efficient of the two kinyonim, and you're bringing me a raya. Oh, but look at Hilchos Hekdesh, open up Pashas Mechakosa, Pashas Rei, you'll see that Kesef can do things that Shtar can't do. Ma echpatli, that Kesef can do things that Shtar can't do. What's echpatli is, can Kesef be Kone when Shtar is not Kone? So I'm discussing Kinyonim, I'm discussing Isha Niknes, and you're asking me a kasha from Issa Vehetar. It would make about as much sense to say as follows. I'm discussing how you Kone Isha. So you can tell me like this. I think you can be kone nisha by shaking her. Why? Because you can shake a lulav. So just as you have a yitz in the midst of a tilsi lulav by shaking a lulav, you can get married by picking up the woman and shaking her. It's a leitzanus. Why is that a leitzanus? It's a leitzanus because I'm talking kinyonim and you're talking mitzvahs. So if you tell me that pidyon hekdesh, pidyon maaseh sheini are just mitzvahs, they're just as if I had there, what impact do they have on something, whether something is or is not a good kinyon? That was Reb Chaim's understanding of Agamar. So comes Reb Chaim and says, based on this idea that I just told you, I just proved to you from our sugya kedushin of hay, that there's a din kinyan shibo, now we can begin to understand, to answer a question, powerful question that's raised by Tosfos in Maseches Bava Kamma. We need a little bit of our background to understand what the kasha was, to appreciate where Reb Chaim's coming from. The Gemara in Bava Kamma talks about the possibility or impossibility of being poda maaseh sheini of somebody else's. I'm going to go ahead and be podi your ma'aseh sheni without your permission. So Gemara says, forget it. I said, that's not going to work. How can I go ahead? You have fruit. You set aside 100 apples with ma'aseh sheni, and you're scrounging around looking for cash. So I decide, I'm going to jump the gun. I'm going to go be podi, and I wasn't authorized to do so. So Gemara says, forget it. That's not going to work. But yet, the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Maseches Bechoros, quoting a different type of pigeon. The other Gemara is talking about pigeon petach hamor. Is that luck when you have a firstborn animal? So the firstborn male animal goes to the kohen. That's if it's a kosher animal. What if it's a chamor? What if it's a donkey? So then there's a special halacha called that upetach hamor tifteh b'seh v'mlosu tevah arfto. It also has kedushas Bechor to it, but it's obviously not going to be brought in the Mizbech. It's a tray for animals, not a kosher species of animal. It's Kadosh B'Kedushas Bechorah. You're not allowed to use it for anything. Unless you do, you have to do one of two things. You have to either be poded, that's what we want you to do, to take a sheep and give the sheep to the Kohen in place of the Bechor, and then the Yisrael gets the Bechor back. And if you choose not to do that, then you have to break the neck and kill the Bechor. So we want to go down the route of pidyon petach hamor. That's what the Mishnah says. That you're not supposed to do ba'arafto. Ba'arafto is a bad thing to do because you destroyed the money of the coin. The coin gets nothing out of it. So the Gemara says that's a bad thing to do. The right thing to do is upetach hamor tiftev b'seh. So I'm about to be pulled in my petach hamor. I've been waiting for years to finally get this firstborn chamor. We're still waiting for that petach hamor thing. I mentioned in the shir here. Someone in town has owns a female pregnant donkey, and it should be due b'shatov mitzlachas about Pesach time. So we'll see. It's still a 50-50 chance whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. We couldn't get the ultrasound pulled off. We were trying to arrange to get this ultrasound done on this animal, because if it's a girl, then we won't get to extend anymore. And we had a radiologist who was willing to actually do it for us. And it was a little bit of a technicality with the equipment. They're getting equipment. We couldn't bring the donkey to the office, and it was a question of getting some of the machinery up to the farm in upstate and whatever. The mice, I don't think it's happened yet. The mice, but in theory there is a din of petach hamor. We hope maybe we'll be put into practice. We have some exciting events, Chol Hamoed, Pesach time, and keep stay in touch. Anyway, so petach hamor never said. So what if, imagine, a fellow's about to do his pidyon petach hamor. He's finding his sheep. He's about to poda his petach hamor, and somebody else jumps the gun and goes in his poda the petach hamor for him without getting permission, without being appointed as a shalich to do so. So the Gemara says, a poda petach hamor shechavero pidyono padoi. So it works. It's okay. The pidyon petach hamor is going to work. Then the Gemara is a shalom. So who gets to keep the chamor? That's a different question. But the etzem pidyon is going to be acceptable. So ask the Tosfos Baba Kama Kasha, what's the difference? How come when it comes to pidyon ma'aseh sheni, I can't be poda somebody else's ma'aseh sheni without their permission? When it comes to pidyon petach chamor, so then the Gemara says, no problem. Poda petach chamor shechaver pidyon apadui. So comes Reb Chaim in this piece and explains what the difference is. So we continue to the third line in the Reb Chaim by the three dots. So Chaim says, when you pull the Ma'aseh Sheni, you're really doing two things. That you're being Bechalo Kedusha, that is true. You are changing the status of Kedusha. It used to be this fruit was had to be eaten in Yerushalayim, but Kedusha, but Tara, no longer the case. The Od Yesh present Din Kinyan Kesef. But the punchline for our purposes is there's a Din Kinyan Kesef when you're being told the Ma'aseh Sheni. The Ma'aseh Zo Gufa Shal Chilul Yesod Chalos Dina Humi Din Kinyan Kesef. The very essence of the very basic principle of Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni is ultimately a Din Kesef. Shachule Nasin Kesef Kinyan Lasos Ma'aseh Zeh Shal Chilul. So the chilul happens as an expression of the kinyan kesef. So now says Reb Chaim in the brackets. So now we understand what Tosfos is driving at. That the Gemara is talking about not actual ma'aseh sheni. The Gemara is actually talking about the fourth year fruit, net the ravai. But as we learned earlier this year, net revoy my shayna are identical. All the kedushas, all the dinim are the same. So the Gemara is discussing, can I be poda net revoy if it's what's called shaliva ena b'shusi. It means I technically own it, but somebody stole it. Somebody grabbed my fruit. Do I still have the ability to be pelted at that netter of I? So the Gemara has a whole pilpul about that. Can you do something on something that's shalovi ena b'shusi? So the muach mizeh says Reb Chaim, the din pidyon ma'aseh sheni v'netter of I, who davar tolim b'bailim. You see, the Gemara is discussing, can I be poded by Netter Avoy? Can I be poded by Shesheni if it's mine, but it's not Bershusi? Implying obvious that if it's not mine, if it's totally not mine, it's not even a question, not even on the radar screen. So Taisus says, the Gemara was willing to entertain the possibility, and even that we reject, if it belongs to me, but it's not fully in my Rishus, is that also a problem? But if it's not Shali, not even a question. So Reb Chaim quoting tells us Kasha, "Umay shnom bepet nechamor diyachal lift oshel chaver av shlomi daito uchid emuchem bepcharis nafir alef." How could it be that pidyon pet nechamor I can do even though it's not mine? Ayn shem debi atosus says Reb Chaim ufid vareinu nicha. According to what we're saying, everything makes sense. The bepet nechamor kevud ein asen nitvas tachas a pet nechamor. The pet nechamor, the seh doesn't get kadosh. Nothing happens to the seh. That's not a kiddin kesef. Pidyon pet nechamor is not a mechanism of kinyan kesef. I'm not selling, I'm not giving the corporation called pet nechamor a seh. If that would be the case, then the seh would become kadosh, which is clearly not the case. Imkein ein pidyon ushur maisa kinyan. A pidyon pet nechamor is not a maisa kinyan. V'rakhaf kos yisur bi'alma. It's a matter of yisur. The chamor was kadosh, it had yisurim on it. The Torah says the way to be mafkiyah these yisurim, the way to be matah these yisurim is a pet nechamor tifte b'seh. But once you say that pinyon pet nechamor has nothing to do with kinyonim, okay, ein ze shach lebailim. Therefore, it has nothing to do with ownership. It has nothing to do with the kinyon kasef. Masha ein kei be pinyon ma'aseh sheni v'net revoy. The din chilul and din kasef bay. Ma'aseh sheni and revoy are different. They're a kinyon kasef. What's the proof that they're different? When I'm poed the ma'aseh sheni, the cash goes to the ma'aseh sheni. The cash becomes kadosh. When I'm poed the hekdesh, the money, the coins go to the hekdesh. They become kadosh. That's a kinyan kesef. Kinyan kesef means the lakeach gives money to the meicher, and now the object belongs to the lakeach, and the coins belong to the meicher. That's what a kinyan kesef is. That's exactly what happens when you poed the hekdesh and ma'aseh sheni. I give the coins to the hekdesh, give the coin to the ma'aseh sheni, they become kadosh, they become b'shus hekdesh ma'aseh sheni, and the object that used to be hekdesh ma'aseh sheni becomes mine. But by pidyon pet nechamor, that model breaks down, because by pidyon pet nechamor, nothing happens to the seh. So, okay, now if you ma'aseh kinyan di alma, so once you tell me that pidyon ma'aseh sheni hekdesh are considered to be ma'aseh kinyan, the tzorach dafke bailam, dafke das bailam. I can't buy something that's not, I can't sell you, so I can't buy and sell things without your permission. So once you're in the realm of Cheshav Mishra, when we're in Dinei Mamonos, we require Bailus. When we're in Yer Day and Nisim Heta, then we don't require Bailus. That's a Yesod for Reb Chaim. So the emphasis is that there is another answer to this Kasha. Tosus asked this Kasha and gave a different answer. What was the answer according to Tosus? So Tosus says, nothing to do with Kinyanim and Cheshav Mishra and Yer Day, a whole different ballgame, says Tosus. Maishna, why is it that Maisa Sheni, I can't redeem without your permission, whereas Pedach Mar, I can. Says Tosfos, the answer is very simple. You can never do something to an object that belongs to somebody else. Who are you? Misam Chaliyish. Who authorized you to go and change the guy's status of his property? Says Tosfos, Pedach Mar doesn't belong to the fellow anymore. Why? Because it's Asa Bahana. Pedach Mar, until you pull to it, it's a Davar Asa Bahana. So who owns the Yisra? No, nobody owns the Yisra, no. We're going to hopefully talk about that in tonight's year. That's a Pesachim type of an issue. But the Petach Amor says to us, the starting point is, the baseline is, nobody really owns it. So that phrase, a pote Petach Amor shel chaveiro, is a little bit of a misnomer. It's not really shel chaveiro. It doesn't belong to chaveiro. There is no chaveiro. It doesn't belong to anybody. A pote Petach Amor shel nobody. So a pote Petach Amor, it's a non-owned item. So b'meila, I can do it. What's the problem? The reason why I can't be pulled to your Maisa Sheni is because you very much do own your Maisa Sheni. Haraya, you're going to eat it in Yerushalayim. Maisa Sheni is not Asa Bana. Netrovoy is not Asa Bana. There are dinim, there are details. You have to go to the mikvah and take it to Yerushalayim and you bring it to Shabbatara. So there are halachas that govern how you eat it, but fundamentally it's yours. So therefore, Taisa says, The reason why there's a difference is because a Todeh Petach Hamor is not Shel Chaveiro. We colloquially call Shel Chaveiro, no one else to call it, but it's not really Shel Chaveiro, unlike Ma'aseh Sheni and Ravai that are Shel Chaveiro. So again, you want to choose between Taisa's understanding or Reb Chaim's understanding, but Reb Chaim used his understanding to answer Taisa's cash a different way than Taisa's did, and he developed this whole Yesoidus, that Pidyon Hekdesh and Ma'aseh Sheni is fundamentally a Ma'aseh Kinyon, and his proof positive was Ashugya. From the fact that the Gemara is pilpuling Shach Vataria, comparing Pidyon Hekdesh Ma'aseh Sheni to a Kinyon Kiddush, which is obviously a Kinyon, so that seems to indicate that Pidyon Hekdesh Ma'aseh Sheni is in Parshas HaKinyonim as well. So there is a problem with this Yesod, notwithstanding how beautiful it does to explain Agamon, explain answer to Kashan and Bava Kama. There is a problem, and that's based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia Dafnan days. So in the 11th of the Mamre Kamos, a small tucked away Gemara that becomes very relevant for us Lamaisa. The Gemara tells us, Vamar Chizkiya, and then Bezim and Bezim, 11th of the Mamre Kamos, Vamar Chizkiya, Ma'aseh Sheni She'ein Bo Sheva Pruta. If a person has Ma'aseh Sheni, but it's a very, very small amount of Ma'aseh Sheni, and it happens not even to be worth a pruta. So what do you do about that? So comes the Gemara and says, now we have a problem. If the Ma'aseh Sheni doesn't have the value of at least of a pruta, it's not nitan to pidyon. How could you be paid to something less than a pruta? The Torah doesn't recognize that as having any value. So I'm going to take less than a pruta to be paid. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So if the Ma'aseh Sheni is worth less than a pruta, you can't be paid to it. It's impossible to be paid to it. So what am I supposed to do with it? So I have a tiny, tiny little something, and it's worth a tenth of a pruta. What am I supposed to do about it? I bought one grape, and I take off a tenth of the one grape, and it's worth less than a pruta. What do I do? So Chizkiya came up with a Gevaldika solution. Chizkiya says, if you have Ma'aseh Sheni she'ein bo sheva pruta, oimehu v'chumsha m'chul almos harishonos, l'fishi yev shalo la'odim l'tzamtzim ha'oisav. Chizkiya is a tremendous chiddush. He says that you can't be poda initially on the pachas shavu pruta. What you can do is as follows. Let's say I was poda Ma'aseh Sheni a while ago. Last week I was poda loads of grapes, loads of apples, loads of stuff. And I had hundreds of dollars worth of fruit, and I set aside hundreds of dollars worth of coins. That's what's supposed to happen. Because manazet, we don't set aside so much because the coins are going to go into the garbage anyway, so we set aside a very, very small amount. But in theory, Bizman HaMikdash, you're supposed to set aside the right amount of cash. Now, when I have $100 worth of fruit, I in theory have to set aside $100 worth of coins. I shouldn't cheat Ma'aseh Sheni. On the other hand, I don't have to give Ma'aseh Sheni a gift. I don't have to give them more than it's worth. Who's going to sit and evaluate? I'm going to go, I want to eat the grapes. It's Friday afternoon. I don't have time for this. So I'm going to go to the store and go ask it, a grape expert to go evaluate exactly how much the grapes were. It's not Kedai. What do? I give a little bit of extra. So I do a little. It's like a person, they want to give money to tzedakah. They owe tzedakah. So I throw in a couple of extra prutas, a couple of extra pennies. So the guy says, listen, I'm taking $100 worth of grapes and I'm transferring the Kedusha onto these coins. And it could be the grapes are really worth $98. Could be I shortchanged myself a little bit. It's not worth my tircha. So comes Chizkiya and says, that's generally the way people are poda Ma'aseh Sheni. They don't count every last pruta. So it turns out, if you think about it, that these coins that I just used, are not fully kadosh b'kedushas Ma'aseh Sheni. Only 98% of them are kadosh b'kedushas Ma'aseh Sheni because the value of the fruit exceeded the value of the coins. So I have a little bit of wiggle room. I have a little bit on my coin that's not really kadosh. So now, if you don't want to talk about $100, that quarter. So I was poda 22 cents of Ma'aseh Sheni onto a quarter of coins. So within that quarter, I don't know how I would do this exactly, but only 22 out of 25 cents is really kadosh. The other 3 cents, if I could carve out those 3 cents, are really chulin. What's the advantage of that? I still have the ability to stick some kedusha onto that part of chulin because there's still a little bit of that coin that's still nitan to chilul. So that's going to help me, says Chizkiya. Now I happen to have a little bit of Ma'aseh Sheni that's less than a Sheva Pruta, and I'm trying hard to find what kind of a coin can I use to be poda on. So Chizkiya says, you can't take an empty coin and start from scratch and be poda the Pachas Shavu, it's not going to work. What you can do is, you can take a coin that anyway has been Kaddish. It's already 95% of it, 99% of it is already Kaddish, and you just want to stick on the Shiraim of that coin, use the ends of that coin to be poda the new Ma'aseh Sheni that's worth less than Shavu Pruta. That's Chizkiya's Gevaldik Chiddush. Hu v'chum shem b'chul ha'mos ha'rishonos. As long as you have mos ha'rishonos, then you're home free. So this notion of chizkah is exactly what we do all the time. Whenever we put the Master Sheni, both in Eretz Yisrael, or if we use, I was just told the Master Sheni for a guy on Sunday in Shul. A guy brought me his carrots that he bought in Newbridge in the farm, which were from Eretz Yisrael, so most, could quite possibly were not yet maised properly. So we, without a bracha, we were mafresh to Mr. Maises, and then we were machala Master Sheni. How much were the carrots worth? How much was a little bit of Master Sheni worth? It could be it was worth more than a pruta, but it could be it was worth less than a pruta. So what do you do? So I can't just be mechal. I can't just take a quarter out of my pocket and be mechal it. I have to find a pre-existing coin. So Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Willig has done us a tova, and he starts off every 3 years. He starts off taking something and being poda onto a quarter, but he leaves the quarter open. He says he's not mechal onto the entire quarter. He's mechal onto a part of the quarter, and he leaves part of that quarter open for all subsequent people to be poda by Sheni. And then he does another tova, and he puts aside another quarter. And he says that at the end, when that quarter fills up, so then that kedusha transfers on to a pruta of the next quarter, and then the first quarter empties out, and then it's a what he likes to call a perpetual motion machine. The kedushas keep on transferring back and forth for the course of 3 years. At the end of the 3 years, he takes all of that and pulls it out onto one dime, takes the dime to the Yud Kem lamp and destroys it, puts it into hydrochloric acid and blow it up in Shalom Yisrael. So that's how Pidyon Maaseh Sheni happens with Zman Hazeh, at least in Rabbi Willig's Tamidim. So he's given me permission to not only use it for my own Pidyon Maaseh Sheni, but he's given me permission to use it for other people's Pidyon Maaseh Sheni as well. So that's what I did in Shul the other day. I told the fellow to be Poda in the Maaseh Sheni. The only thing that doesn't work for, one of my Balabatim moved to Eretz Yisrael a few months ago, so he called me and he said, can he still use Rabbi Willig's coin to be Poda in Maaseh Sheni in his backyard in Ramat Beit Shemesh? I told him no, because the din is you have to be Poda on currency of where you are. So we can use a quarter in America to be pulled. They can't use a quarter in Israel, unless you think that dollars are currencies in Eretz Yisrael. That's a whole different story. In the old years, you know, when the shekel was really inflation was off the charts. You know, 24, 30 years ago, so some poskim used to say that the dollar is the currency because nobody wanted shekels. Everyone wanted dollars. As well as said, Bachshon, the shekel is much stronger than it was. So you could probably get away in some stores paying with dollars also, but they don't like it anymore. It's not like it was in years gone by. So you probably can't be pulled by Sashani on dollars anymore. There's a humorous story. We'll have to close the tape for the humorous story. That's all. We'll stop for Shabbos. Anyway, I'll take a quick